Turn with me to your in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Thanksgiving Day has been kind of set aside to be a time of thanksgiving, giving of thanks. Kind of shifts over the years and where it's considered to be Turkey Day. The biggest slaughter of turkeys. You can pre-order your special bird. You can just run to the store and buy one. You can go to a farm and hand-pick one. You can raise one yourself. It's called Turkey Day. Always a grand time at Grandma's house. My wife doesn't like to stuff a turkey, but my grandma loved stuffing turkey. And I loved that old stuffing. Now they call it dressing. Or maybe it's just stuffing in Pennsylvania and dressing in Indiana. Maybe that's the difference. Always a fight over the gizzard, the heart. Never a fight over the neck. We young boys would fight over the drumsticks and then find out that it was too big for us anyway. Turkey Day. But in reality, when we come right back to it, Turkey Day is just kind of transcended, but the reality of the day is Thanksgiving. We are made to pause in the midst of the big busyness of the year and say thank you. You know, we can say thank you to the Lord, we can say thank you to our parents, we can say thank you to various people. But we say thank you. And when we pause and think about it, our heart would be moved upon with thanksgiving. We think Jeanette's mentioned this morning specifically something that she's thankful for. You know, we just get right down to what we're thankful for when we try to be specific. We're thankful for things, really, that are more valuable or most valuable to us. The more valuable something is, or the more precious something is, the more that we are willing to be thankful or vocally thankful for it. There's not too many people that are willing to verbalize their appreciation for hardship or for sickness, for difficulties. But sometimes people have even done that because they've realized that the bad circumstances of their lives have brought them something better, or that have caused them to be better. It's things that are precious to us, things that we value, or what we are most thankful for. In the Sunday school lesson this morning, Esau was thankful for food. He was not thankful for his birthright. He was thankful for food because he thought he was hungry. Did you ever get to the point where food became an extra blessing because you were extra hungry? Thirsty. Water becomes very precious to someone who is parched. Don't know that any of us have ever experienced that. Maybe there's some that have. Water becomes very precious. I think I've mentioned it before that my mom and dad, mainly my mom, would not allow us as kids to say that we were starved because we were not starved. We could say we were hungry, but we weren't starved. We weren't even parched. We may have been pretty dry from playing in the heat. And I can assure you that playing in the heat of Haiti was enough to make somebody parched, but we weren't allowed to say anything about that because we were just thirsty. When a person is really in poverty, now I know that you may look at your tax return and say, wow, I fall way below poverty level, but we're not in poverty. I don't know that any of us are in poverty. We have so much. But when a person is in poverty, then money becomes extra precious. Having the ability, you've heard stories, and maybe some of you have experienced them as well, in the Great Depression, the history of our country has given it to where people did not have money at all. They had what they had, and money was non-existent to them. But if they were able to scratch up a penny or a nickel or a dime, it was precious. Did you ever get so dirty that a shower was more precious than just the daily shower? Or the weekly shower, whatever the case may be. There's not a single one of us that would have enjoyed being outside last night all night long. Even if you were bundled up with all that you had, you wouldn't have enjoyed it because probably, unless you were very active, you would have become cold. And when a person is cold, heat becomes valuable. Oh, the wonder of being able to come in from the outdoors on a cold day and get up next to the wood stove or the coal stove or the forced air from the furnace. On this Thanksgiving, we have a lot of things to be thankful for. We have a lot of things to be grateful for. We have many things to express. When we pause and look at ourselves, when we look at our individual selves and we realize who we are or what we are, then we would find that there is something else that is more precious to us than gold. I think that's what Peter is talking about here in 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to begin reading with verse number 17. The things that are more valuable to us are the things that become precious, the things that we are thankful for. Listen to what Peter says is precious. And if you call on the Father who, without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver, gold, as wonderful as silver and gold is, not corruptible things from your vain conversation received from or by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. When we see sin in its full nature, when we see the condemnation that comes from sin, and when we realize that that sin and condemnation for sin rests upon us, then we would find, we would realize, we would experience what Peter is talking about here, that this blood of Jesus Christ becomes precious, more precious, most precious. I want to give to you some things that make it valuable, that cause it to be precious. The first thing that I want to notice this morning, that it is precious because of its redeeming power. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious because of its redeeming power. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, "The church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." That he purchased with his own blood. In this passage here in Peter, we are told that it's not purchased or redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, as valuable as they are, but they are still destructible. They are still going to be eliminated. They are still going to have an end to them. They are not something that is going to last for all eternity. But what we have been purchased by or redeemed by is an incorruptible, something that will not pass away. Nothing can change it. Now we can look in the passage here, and it talks about vain conversation, traditions of the past. These things that are maybe considered to be ritualistic or some kind of forms of good works. And we could really look at it and narrow it down and realize that some people in that day were saying, well, they had salvation simply because they were children of Abraham. We may not know anybody like that today, but there's still people like that today. They are saved. They are going to make it simply because they call themselves a child of Abraham. The Gentiles of Peter's day that he was talking to, that he was writing for, they may not have experienced what the Jews were experiencing, being the children of Abraham, but they had many gods. They had things that were set up, some of them gold, some of them silver, some of them wood. But it didn't matter what it was, they were corruptible. Peter's saying that this that we are redeemed by is incorruptible. Redeemed. Webster tells us that the word redeemed is to regain possession of by payment of a specified amount. A specified regaining possession. The chief point here would be that there was a payment, a price that had to be paid. The unhappy state of the sinner could not be changed without that particular price being paid. God, in His mercy, in His love for mankind, produced what was necessary, gave what was necessary, allowed what was necessary to be the purchase of these redeemed or unredeemed, needing to be redeemed sinners. Deliverance didn't come from a corruptible ransom. Admission into an incorruptible inheritance cannot come or cannot be secured by a corruptible means. But in order to be brought into an incorruptible inheritance, they had to be purchased or redeemed by an incorruptible means. It is by the precious blood of Jesus. Redemption is costly. I don't think we have to argue that this morning. We're all aware that it's costly. The sacrificial death of our Savior, the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on Calvary, makes us to realize that it was a costly price. Precious, somebody said, more precious wealth that can never be told. Someone else said, redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You see this morning that the blood of Jesus Christ becomes precious to us because of its redeeming power. But we also would notice that it's precious because of its cleansing power. Cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How much can we work into that word cleanseth? I believe that we can find within the defining measure of the word cleanseth, we can find the dust particles of sin. I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ wipes away, as a person would, the dust from their house, the shelves and the things of the house, the dusting that takes place. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ wipes away the dust. Believe that we can even find it within that there's also the acts of sin that can be wiped away or washed away. The cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ that eliminates the acts of sin or the penalty of those acts of sin. We would also find that the blood of Jesus Christ washes or cleanseth away the root of sin. The pollution of sin, the stains of sin. No matter how deep the stain has gone, the blood still goes deeper. We find that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And as we walk in the light, does that mean that it makes us more clean? Or does it mean that he just keeps us clean? Keeps us clean in the midst of a defiled world. In the midst of a world that has dust particles floating around and sin floating around, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Not just a one-time cleaning. But as we walk with him, the blood of Jesus Christ is precious because of its cleansing power. The third thing we notice about the blood of Christ being precious is that it's precious because of its pacifying power. This one may be a little difficult to understand, but we don't have to go very far this morning to see that a pacifier works pretty good, sometimes in the mouth of a child. I don't know what they just did, but something worked. Wednesday night, somebody said as they walked out the door that they forgot their pacifier for the baby. You know, it's something that pacifies, it calms, it makes the individual to become more relaxed or to become containable or whatever you want to use. But you see, that's really not what we're looking at in this kind of a setting. But its pacifying power can be explained when we look further into God's Word, as Paul said in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of the cross. Made peace. Now that's something right there, isn't it? You see, the blood of Jesus Christ pacifies the law. Made peace through his blood. Paul said in Romans 3 that he might be just. That God might be just. Something had to happen. Something had to take place. And that was the blood of Jesus Christ. It pacifies the law of sin and death. It pacifies the guilty conscience. Because it brings peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Mankind is estranged from God. We could say that over and over again, but it's a reality. Mankind is estranged from God because of sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ reconciles, pacifies the justness of God, that he might still be just. fourth thing we notice is that the blood is precious because of its reconciling power. Because we're enemies of God, we're not on speaking terms with God. There's a squabble because of sin. There's a barrier that has been erected because of sin. A grudge between God and man, between man and God. But the blood, it reconciles. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Paul also said in Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes," or who sometimes were "afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Reconciling power brings us to a place of adoption. The picture of adoption is a beautiful picture. Changing from one to another. Having a new parent, new parents. Having a new heritage. A change in a person's life. That's reconciling power. This reconciling power doesn't just simply bring us to a point of adoption, but this reconciling power gives us a blood transfusion, making us one with heavenly heritage, heavenly relation. It's the reconciling power of Jesus Christ that makes His blood precious. The fifth thing that I noticed this morning, and how wonderful it is as well, is the preciousness of the blood becomes more precious because of its emboldening power. Did you catch that? The emboldening power. I'm not lost in my notes. I know where I am. Hebrew writer said, chapter 10, verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness..." Boldness to enter into the holiest. Through what means? He said, through the blood of Jesus. I don't know that I can say it well enough. I don't know that I can say it often enough. But when we look at what that really means, what that involves, what that entails, the blood of Jesus Christ gives us access. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us the boldness to enter in. When we think about entering into God's presence and you have in your mind the picture of the Old Testament, and you understand in your mind all that's involved with that of the Old Testament context, it's a fearful thing to think, even to think about entering into the presence of God. It's a fearful thing. Perhaps it would even be a frightening thing to be able or to think about entering, to being able to enter into the very presence of God. But the blood of Jesus Christ gives us a boldness to enter into the holiest, the very innermost part, the presence of God, to commune with Him. That comes from the right of sonship. Being a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. I remember in school hearing about President Lincoln. You know, one of the greatest presidents of our country. He gave his sons free rein into the Oval Office. They were allowed to come and go. I can't imagine that, really. The privacy of the Oval Office, or what we hear about is the privacy of the Oval Office, but his sons, they had access to him. We have access to our Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. The sixth thing that I notice about this blood, and making it more precious is that it's precious because of its overcoming power. Being redeemed by the blood, reconciled by the blood, purchased, and all that we've already mentioned about the blood being precious, all of that's good, all of that is well, that is a wonderful thing, and those are wonderful things. But when we come down to this thing here, it adds to it as well. It makes it even more precious, the overcoming power of the blood. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb. There it is again. The blood is precious because of its overcoming power. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us the power to overcome in this world, overcome the fear of death, overcome the power of the devil. We are told that all we need to do is resist the devil and he will flee from us. That resistance gives us what we need to resist or to have him flee through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not within ourselves. It's not us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Resist. What do we have to give to resist? We have the blood of Jesus Christ at our fingertips, at our disposal. We have the blood of Jesus Christ to give us overcoming power. Even today, it's by the precious blood of Jesus. The seventh thing and the final thing this morning that I want to give you is the making the blood of Jesus precious is that it's precious because of its song-inspiring power. You say, well, that's not that much, is it? I don't know. Do you not like to sing? Does the blood cause you to sing? To rejoice. And you maybe you don't like to sing. Maybe you care not to sing because you can't carry a tune. Maybe you don't want anybody to hear you sing. Well, what about rejoicing? You see, that's what songs are for. It's supposed to be rejoicing. A new song, a song of praise. Well, you're going to have to get used to singing a new song because it tells me in Scripture that there's a new song that's sung. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I don't know what tune that's being sung to. It doesn't seem to rhyme too much. But it's a song of praise. It's a song that is to be sung. And then we find it's a little bit further that there are voices of angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. I wish we could sing it this morning. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing. I don't know what that song is either. I've never heard it sung before, but it seems as though there's a great choir of people that are singing, that they're at least saying these words. They are rejoicing. There's blood, there's power in the blood to induce a heart of praise. There's still power in the blood of Jesus, hope in a troubled, dying land. There's still cleansing in that crimson stream that frees us. There's still power in the blood of the Lamb. Nothing but the blood can purify me. My sins were washed away when I stepped in the cleansing flood. When I'm needing victory over Satan, I just stand my ground, look at him, and I claim the blood. There's still power in the blood of Jesus. Hope in a troubled, dying land. There's still cleansing in that crimson stream that frees us. There's still power in the blood of the Lamb. And all that we have to be thankful for this Thanksgiving season, or this Thanksgiving day that's soon to be here, We dare not forget how precious the blood of the Lamb is. The preciousness of the Lamb's blood is because of its redeeming power and its cleansing power, its pure or its pacifying power, its reconciling power, its emboldening power, its overcoming power, and its song-inspiring power. You see, we have something to be thankful for this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together this morning. Thank God this morning for His blood. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Troy, would you dismiss us in prayer?